Thank you, Stan. Thank you for that wonderful music that we heard this morning. I know that Stan and I have always played a little joke on one another. Sometimes it's not, I don't know if he ever really wanted to play it, though. I believe it was just one-sided. I can't believe it's been 15 years since I've given my first message here. And for 15 years, I have been a thorn in Brother Stan's side, because I would always, basically, he wants the title and the scriptures before, about a week before. And this week, I got it in 2 weeks before, and he was just shocked about that. And so, throughout the years, I would not have them ready, and most of the time, I honestly did not have them ready. But then as I got older, I kind of did it on purpose to him, and I somewhat feel bad for that. I thought I would do a little, yeah. So I thought I would do something different. I thought I would submit him this time to him 2 weeks in advance, to just kind of throw him off a little bit. But I think God really used us, I think, the last couple of weeks to put together a beautiful message and beautiful songs that were just perfect for this morning. But anyways, Heather has to endure me twice this morning. She was here for the 8:30 service. Anyways, she said, well, this is the one they stream live. And she said, don't mess up. For those that are listening at home, I just want to thank everyone for joining and welcome everyone. I know that my mom is listening at home, and I know I better do a good job, because I think she's chomping at the bit to basically send it off to all of my aunts and relatives around the state of Illinois for that. So I guess I better do a decent job for them, so they won't be disappointed. But anyways, Heather and I just want to thank you for the opportunity to serve as your youth pastor. It's just a wonderful opportunity. I always say that I think I'm seeing that the youth pastor is probably the funnest job in the church. You can act like a kid, and that's pretty cool, because everybody likes that, and the youth really like that. And also, I always promise to them that I will give a shout-out to them every time I'm up here or about ready to give a message. I will always give a shout-out to my youth. I just want to say, though, that I believe we have a future deacon among our youth, because Blaze Gilzo was worried about the youth budget a few months ago. Because we had all these activities planned, and he was worried that, okay, now are we still going to be able to do those things? And I had to assure him, yes, we will do those as soon as we can. And for those that are interested in joining us on Zoom night, please get a hold of me. You can email me. My email address is mritchie@cornerstonejeffcity.org. And so if you want any information about that, please send it to me. If you know a fifth grader that is about ready to go into the sixth grade, I know I said this a couple of weeks ago, please let me know and I will reach out to them, because I would like for them to get used to these possible Zoom meetings that we might have in the fall. I'm doing this, though. I'm taking a book out of my mom's book, basically. If you prepare for it, you won't need it. So let's hope that we're able to get back to normal in the fall. So with that, I just wanted to give a little plug as far as the youth ministry go, and just to thank you all for this support, as it's been a trying time for us, as we wanted to get the youth started and we had to stop. And now hopefully we can get back going. Hopefully we can start planning some more activities for them as we near fall, and so I think mini golf is going to be our first activity, so be on the lookout for that in the coming weeks ahead. With that, let's before we get started, let's please join me in a word of prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Father, for this time to open your word and to study it. And Father, we just pray that the lesson that you're about to provide us, Lord, will be a blessing to all that hear. And Father, I just pray that you will be with me during this sermon, Lord, and that people will hear you and not me. And Father, I just pray that we take what you want us to hear today and apply it to our lives and apply it to those that are around us, Father. May we be an encourager to those that are going through a hard time right now. Father, we just hand this time over to you, and may your Spirit fill this house. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, the world has endured a tumultuous 6 months. Many fellow Americans have felt the pain of losing a loved one or a loss of job, and undoubtedly, people who are in nursing homes are experiencing depression as they deal with the many days without seeing their loved ones. And we could go on and on about all the bad things that are happening in our world, but I want us to put all that aside and focus on God this morning. When our world is falling apart, it feels as if a dense cloud of fog surrounds us. Military leaders know that about this dangerous fog. They call it the fog of war, which is the uncertainty and situational awareness experienced by participants in military operations. In many ways, life sometimes feels like a battle. How many of you lost situational awareness? I know I have. You don't know where you're going. You lose all your senses. You don't know what to do. You've made so many bad choices that you start not trusting yourself. You begin second-guessing every move, and you become paralyzed. And it is at that moment the enemy has you right where he wants you. This lack of situational awareness does not have to happen for the Christian. You see, we have the Holy Spirit to help guide us through this dark and evil world. But even Christians, we forget that we have access to Almighty God. This morning, we are going to meet a man who is paralyzed, and the enemy has him in his sights. But we'll see what he did to gain victory. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, and let's meet this man whose life changed in an instant. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, a lame man, from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. As you can see, Peter and John came upon a man who had been paralyzed since birth. The life of the disabled during this time was miserable. The cultural norm was to view them as unclean. It was taught that disabled people or their parents did something against God. Thus, they were being punished for their sins. You could say they were the outcast of society. Nobody wanted to speak to them, much less go near them. They were ignored and forgotten. And have you ever felt like that? That no one cares about you? That friends and family have forgotten you? I think if we're honest, we've all felt that way sometimes. Maybe at some point in life, you felt like an outcast. You remember the pain of pointing and teasing from kids at school. The man we meet in our passage of Scripture undoubtedly endured the sinister glares from others, the disdain from those walking by, and the jokes people would make about him. But maybe worst of all, as this man looked up, at the faces walking by, he couldn't help but notice those who simply strolled past him without acknowledging his existence. He was forgotten. He was ignored. He was unseen by society. Sadly, our society hasn't improved much. Like the people who walk past this beggar, we ignore the growls of starving children, we forget the feelings of our elderly, and we do not see the homeless man trying to find shelter. These people go unnoticed because we live in a society focused on self. We're all born selfish. The late pastor Adrian Rogers said the most selfish person in the world is a little baby. They have no care in the world but to eat and sleep. They do not care if it's 3 a.m. and mom and dad have to work the next morning. If they are hungry, they are going to let them know about it. Sadly, many of our society do not grow out of this stage. We have people across all generations who only care about themselves. They just want to eat, sleep, and be merry. They have no desire or passion to sacrifice for others. They go through life pursuing one selfish goal after another. And typically towards the end, they finally realize that nothing could fill their void. No amount of money, career accomplishments, or friends could ever fill their emptiness. Only Jesus Christ can fill the void in people's hearts. Only Jesus can turn that selfish heart into a sacrificial, loving heart. We have so many in the world today wanting changes, but the changes they want are not possible unless more people follow Christ. James writes in chapter 3, verse 16, "For whenever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil in every kind." You can adopt all the laws you want, but unless Christ is in the hearts of people, then all our efforts are for nothing. As Christians, it is our duty to spread the love of Christ around the world. It is our responsibility to witness to others and be an encourager. We need to help others achieve their dreams. And in our passage of Scripture, we see something very interesting. It is something many of us gloss over when we read it. Look after the first comma in verse 2. "Whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful." The key word is whom. This means that either family or friends would lay this man at the gate so he could beg for money every day. This verse alludes to the fact that this man did in fact have someone who wanted to help him. However, they could only take him so far. Friends and family are wonderful, but they can only do so much. People fail us. Sometimes it's intentional. We can all think of a time when a friend or family disappointed us. Sometimes they do not know how to help. And sometimes they simply cannot help because God wants you to take it the rest of the way. I think that is what we find in our passage of Scripture. These people could only take this man so far because God wanted to use his power to manifest his glory through him. God wanted this man to be totally dependent on him. That is such a hard concept for us to grasp and fully appreciate because we have a tendency to put our faith in valuable people instead of an infallible God. Our society promotes instantaneous gratification. People typically give us instant feedback. When we call a friend, they tell us at that moment whether they can help us. That quick decision satisfies us. However, it is amazing how many times we keep going back to the same people asking for help only to be disappointed. We excuse their behavior. We say they are too busy or don't have the resources. Yet we keep putting our faith in them. Often, we will go to God once. And if we do not hear from him or receive the answer we are looking for, we will never return. It is a sobering thought because God will always answer your request by putting your needs first. Unlike friends, God always has good reason why he doesn't fulfill our request. When God doesn't answer, it does not mean he does not care. In fact, it's quite the opposite. God loves us so much that he will not allow something to happen in our lives, even though we ask for it. We can think of all the times when we prayed so hard for something to happen and it doesn't. At the time, we are disappointed and discouraged, but if we are patient and give God time to reveal his answer and the reason why, we are thankful. David writes about this promise in Psalm chapter 121, verse 7. the Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. Maybe you prayed for a new job, but found out later that position had been eliminated. Maybe you prayed that a specific person will fall in love with you, but you later find the one God intended you to be with. We can all think of examples in our lives when we prayed so hard for God, only to be disappointed by his answers, but then feel guilty and thankful when God finally reveals his plans to us. It is difficult for us to accept God's decisions because we are a society that promotes instant gratification. If something doesn't please us now, we discard it and move on to something new. However, God does not work on our timeline. God's timing is perfect. People can only take you so far. The people in our passage of Scripture who helped this man could only take him to the gate. In the same way, as Christians, we can only take people so far. We can't push them beyond heaven gates. We can only lead them to it. It is going to take an act of God and a willingness from that person to respond on God's timetable to save their life. And as we see this morning, this lame man responded when God called him. Look again at verses 3 through 5. It says, "This man, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' So he gave him his attention." The three words I want us to focus on is "look at us." This man was probably shocked when Peter said, "Look at us." At first, I imagine this man was embarrassed to even look at Peter and John in the eyes. This man who spent each day of his life dragging himself around on the ground at the gates of the temple was probably astonished when two men wanted him to look up, when countless people walk by him each day and do not even look down to see him. Yet deep down, something inside of this man motivated him just enough to simply look up. Was there something about the way Peter said it, or the command in his voice, that he was speaking from some sort of authority? There was something that made this man look up, and I believe it was God. God is telling you today to look up and focus on him. Each one of us is that lame man. We are all lost and helpless when we do things on our own and rely solely on help from others. This man, all his life, was going nowhere, day in, day out. Nothing was happening. And have you ever felt that way? No matter what you do, you wind up right back to where you started from. You tried so hard to change things in your life, but you just can't move. You try to kick that addiction, but to no avail. You try to find a new job, but every potential door closes. You try to find friends, but you're just cast aside. All these continued heartbreaks can force you to become just like this man in our passage of Scripture, paralyzed. Yet we need to follow his lead this morning. We need to look up one last time. I know it's hard, but every ounce of energy you have left, God is asking you to just look up and to look at me. God is calling you this morning. God is saying, "Look at me, focus on me." It is so important to focus on God because we can walk through the storms of life with confidence that everything is going to be okay. Peter himself knew about this message. Recall, when he could walk on water, but as soon as he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. Whatever you're going through this morning, fix your eyes on Jesus. Notice, though, in our passage of Scripture, that Peter doesn't promise this man silver and gold. Peter is offering eternal life. So many of today are focused on earthly possessions that we forget or ignore what really matters in life. My accomplishments mean nothing in the sight of God, but the angels rejoiced when I gave my life to Jesus. Jesus says in Luke chapter 15, verse 10, "In the same way there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents." When I gave my life to Christ, my struggles did not end. I didn't become famous, I didn't become rich, but I gained confidence because I no longer had to fight my battles alone. I can simply give them over to Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 7, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." And I came across a story that I believe sums up the main point of this scripture. It is about Helen Limmel. Some of you know that she wrote over 500 hymns, but you might not know that about the struggles she endured most her life. Born in 1864 in England, Helen's father moved the family to the state of Wisconsin when she was 12. From an early age, her parents were keenly aware of her profound singing voice, and in America, she had a reputation for her talent. She traveled through the American Midwest holding concerts. She moved to Germany in 1907 to refine her singing ability, and there met and married a wealthy European. After 4 years, as the fires of World War I were smoldering, Helen returned to the U.S., touring with a mixture of her own patriotic songs and familiar hymns. At the pinnacle of fame, tragedy struck. Helen went blind, and her husband abandoned her, leaving her financially destitute. While standing on a street corner in 1918, she was handed a small Christian tract written by Lilith Trotter, a missionary from Africa. A single line in the tract gripped her heart. "So then turn your eyes upon Jesus, look fully into his face, and you will find that the things of earth will acquire a strange new dimness." Helen later wrote, "I stood still, and singing in my soul and spirit was the chorus, with no conscious moment of putting word to word to make rhyme or note to make melody." Her heart song became one of the greatest hymns of all time, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." When asked by her friends how she was doing, Helen's faith led her to reply, "I am fine with the things that count." The thing that counted in Helen's life was her salvation. Silver and gold she did not have, but what she did have was Jesus. And you can have that assurance today. You can have salvation today. And you may be saying to yourself, "God would never save a sinner like me. I've done so many bad things in my life that I'm not worthy." That attitude, that very attitude that is keeping you from God, is the attitude you need to have before the throne of God. If you feel that way, God is calling you. You're acknowledging that you are a sinner, that you're not worthy of salvation. Everyone needs to have that attitude. When I went forward, I knew I was a sinner. I didn't feel worthy, and I still don't feel worthy of my salvation, but I went forward anyways because I knew I needed Christ in my life, and so do you. A lot of people also hold back from going forward because they treat God like a doctor. How many of you don't go to the doctor because you're worried about your health? You say to yourself, "Once I start working out or eating right, I'll go to the doctor then," because you're afraid that they will scold you. There are a lot of people not going before God simply because they want to get their life in order first, because they are afraid God will scold them. Listen to me this morning. God wants you to come just as you are. No matter what you've done or where you are in life, just come. Just fix your eyes on Jesus. If your life is spiraling out of control, God is the only answer. Look at verse 7 in our passage of Scripture. "And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength." God is reaching out his hand this morning. Just take it, receive it, and receive God's strength. Look up. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Stan is going to come in a few moments and lead us in this beautiful hymn. And I want us all to concentrate on these precious words. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Just turn your eyes upon him this morning. Let's pray. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity that we have, no matter where we are, no matter what is going on in our life, that we can just do this one simple act, and that is to look up to you, Lord, and to look to Jesus. Father, I just pray that if there is someone here this morning that doesn't know you, that they will just look to you, Father. And Lord, we pray for those that are listening online. We just pray, Father, that if there's a decision that they need to make, that they will let us know. And Father, I pray that you will be with all the decisions that need to be made, and be with everyone that is just struggling, Lord, right now. And Father, just give them the assurance that all they have to do is look to you. And all they have to do is turn their eyes upon Jesus. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As a few moments, Stan's going to come and sing this beautiful hymn. I just want to encourage you, if anyone has a need, to just come forward. You can either come forward or you can stay right where you are, and I'll come meet you after the service. If there's someone listening and needs help, just feel free to email myself or Pastor Brian, or if you need me to give a message to Pastor Brian, whatever it is, I can do that. Just come.